very short two-part series called Seek. So Pastor Stephen is at our Fremantle campus, and he just sends his greeting. And so we're starting this two-part series on fasting because we want to start the year well. Now, how many of you, when you hear the word fast, you think, wow, exciting, wonderful? One person? Who loves fasting? One person still. Okay, at least you're being honest, right? It's not one of the, it's like when you talk about a prayer meeting, when you say there's a prayer meeting, right? Not many people get excited. But if you say there's a prophet in town, what happens? People flock to the church, don't they? Yeah, so it's just one of those things. So seeking. Seek means to try to find or get something, especially something that is not a physical object. So synonyms for the word seek: try to find, look for, look round for, to be on the lookout for, hunt for, be in quest of, be in pursuit of. Now, seeking is not just like, you know, looking around. It's a lot deeper than that. That's the key thing that I'm trying to put across here. In Genesis chapter 1, we read, "Then God said," thank you, verse 26, "let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." So as human beings, we are on assignment. Assignment around dominion, replenishing the earth, subduing it, keeping it under our control. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, it says, this is from the NIV, "We see the beginnings of God transition the children of Israel from slavery to freedom. The Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Havites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Our assignment is not just dominion. It's not just replenishing or subduing the earth. Our assignment is to bring people out of bondage, and that is to each one of us. I just want to quickly pray. Father, I just want to pray this morning as we get into your word that our ears would be open to hear what it is you want us to hear as individuals, as a church, as a campus, as families, as a community. And I pray that our eyes would be open to see what we need to see. And just receive, Lord, just for this year, what you want us to receive. Each person, Father, who's walked through those doors, may they walk out with something unique, something that they can go and use in their own personal life. May they be a God connection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. So we're talking about seeking the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33 says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." So what is the kingdom? also known as the kingdom of heaven. So kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, has been defined as the spiritual realm over which God reigns as king, or fulfillment of on earth, sorry, of God's will. It's been said that the task of the church is to make the invisible kingdom visible. And we do that by living in such a way that we bear witness to the reality of the kingship of Christ in our jobs, in our families, in our marriages, in our schools, in our finances, pretty much in every area of our life. The only way that the kingdom of God is going to be manifest in this world before Christ comes back is if we manifest this by the way that we live as citizens of heaven, subject to a king. Now that sounds like a mouthful, but basically the idea is that as believers, as followers of Christ, it's in how we live that the kingdom can be seen. So what does it mean to seek God above all else? Has anyone here ever lost keys? And I'm not looking at you, Helen. Helen, yeah. Okay, I won't tell on you. Lost car keys, wallets, phone. Yeah? Okay, my daughter is looking at me. Yes. Now, I lose those things more often than most people, I have to admit. And you know, when you lose things like that, you look everywhere, don't you? And there's an intensity in your search because you know that that thing that you've lost is so valuable, especially if you lose your phone, right? Because we know nowadays your phone is not just your phone. It's your calendar, it's your diary, it's so many other things, your banking. The whole lot is in your phone, right? So we invest time, we invest energy, we invest all our valuable resources to find that thing, to seek it. Now, recently I discovered that I had lost some very important documents. And when I say important documents, I mean the original birth certificates of every single family member. Yes. So I lost them and it was quite distressing because we needed them, of course, for some things to happen. And I spent days looking for them. I looked in every bag I could think of, every container. I looked in the shed. I looked everywhere. I even thought of paying money to the person who would find them. Right? I was willing to pay the price. Luckily, for me, it never got to that point because I found them. And the reason I found them is because I did not give up the search. Seeking the kingdom above all is just that. It's that everything else takes a back seat. All your attention, all your time, all your energy is put into pursuing God and the things of God, right? Your resources. Now, why seek? Why bother seeking? Number one, we must seek the kingdom of God above else because your assignment is way too big for you to not do that. We talked before about dominion. We talked about replenishing the earth, subduing, and we talked about freeing people from bondage, also known as deliverance. If we're going to actually do all those things as followers of Christ, we actually need to know God's way of doing it. That's why we must seek him. The second point is the desire for breakthrough. You know, the year has begun. We're still in January. And I'm sure most, if not all of us, have got some sort of goal, some sort of resolution. Some people do New Year's resolutions. Some people have stopped doing them. But we all have something that we want to achieve, right? If you desire breakthrough of some sort in your relationships, in your family, in your business, in your finances, then it's important to consider seeking God. Matthew 17, verse 19 to 21 says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could not we not cast it out?'" They're talking about a demon that they couldn't cast out. "Why couldn't we?" Because they believed that they could just pray and cast out any demon. And so they were confused. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith of a mustard seed, as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However," that's like saying, "but." "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." This kind. So it's a different way of dealing with it. It's not just prayer. It says prayer and fasting. So what is fasting? What's your understanding of what fasting is? Because we all have different backgrounds. We all have different experiences, different understandings. So what is fasting? Anyone? Pardon? Abstaining? Self-torture? Giving something up? Anything from that side? Yes, thank you, Stuart. None of those are wrong. I don't know about the torture bit, but yeah, sort of. Depends. Fasting is voluntary abstaining, or I can't ever say this word, abstention from food for a period, or it's mainly food, but it can also be anything of a physical appetite. Sleep. These days, people fast gadgets. I mean, it's changed over the years what people will fast, right? Facebook, right? Some people fast Facebook. Some people fast, yes, TV. What else? Pardon? Phone. Okay, yes, electronics. Yeah. Something that's dear to your heart. There's so many different understandings of what it is, right? But it's really, really important to understand of, regardless of what your understanding of fasting is, there is a purpose to why you're doing it. Whichever way you choose to do it, there is a purpose. And the purpose is connecting with God. It's that intimacy with God, is to hear God, right? That's the purpose of it. So why fast? I'm going to talk about three main reasons why we fast. Number one, it's a command from the Lord Jesus. Matthew 6:16 says, "And when you fast," not if you fast, "when you fast, don't make it obvious to the hypocrite, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting." Luke 5:33 says to 35, "One day some people said to Jesus," this is the second point, sorry, "John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking?" Jesus responded, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday, the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." They will fast. Third point, the Lord Jesus fasted, and he is our role model. Matthew 4:1-2, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry." Jesus fasted. And we always say, "Oh, he is my example. He is my leader." He fasted. If he is our example, we follow his example. So when I was 20 years old, many, many, many years ago, I went on my first fast. It was a 3-day water fast, as in like no food for 3 days. I didn't initiate it, my aunt did, because, yeah, I was a fairly new Christian, and she was, yeah, one of those Christians, right, who were just so committed to God, and they did prayer and fasting. So I was living in Botswana, she was in England, and she invited me, went over there, and she said, let's do a fast. I didn't know why, I just did, you know, what I was told. It was the longest 3 days of my life. I was so hungry. All we did those 3 days, we were locked in this room, her bedroom, and I don't know where her husband slept those 3 days, but it was just me and her 3 days. All we had was water and prayer and worship music. I think by the end of the second day, I was like, okay, I might as well just give up. This, I'm dying, so what's the point? But it was quite an experience for me. It was many, many years later that I started my own, my first and one of very few 40-day fast. Now, this was in 2016. I went on this 40-day fast, and as soon as I decided to go on this fast, I heard these words from myself: you're going to give up on the way. And then the second thing was, what if it's not God and it's just you, right? And this was immediately after I made the decision to do it. But I'll tell you this. Now, I didn't go on 40-day water. It wasn't a water fast. I didn't go without food for 40 days. I don't think I can do that. I'm not at that level. 40 days, I did a Daniel fast, right? Just fruit and veggies. But what came out of that time of connection with God was incredible. The fruit of that. Number one, revelation of his word. Answers to questions. Wisdom. How to relate to family members, or how to do relationships better. Words of encouragement for specific people in the church. Redirection. He redirected me to his agenda and not mine. He showed me what was my next assignment. I got dreams and visions. It was overwhelming. I collected information that I still use today. You know, you hear words, you get dreams, you get visions, things that many, many years down the track, God still uses. So for me personally, fasting has yielded amazing fruit. So we're just going to spend the next 2 to 3 minutes. Our sister Donna is going to just quickly share an experience or testimony around fasting, and then I'll continue.
Good morning, everyone. I decided to practice fasting last year, something I never done. Something I've never done, but I decided to practice fasting because I really wanted a job, and I wanted one that would match me and the people around me to be similar to me, and the work to be easy to follow. And this year I got a job. And it's exactly what I prayed for. And the environment is exactly what I prayed for. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep fasting. And then the second one was, I had a heart pain, and I couldn't understand what that heart pain was all about. We went to ED as normal. They send you home with Panadol. So I went to my doctor the next day, and she diagnosed me with swollen ribs. And I'm like, okay. did what she told me, but I was still suffering with breathing, and I couldn't walk, I couldn't do any physical work, and I said, Lord, I don't want to depend on anyone but you. You're going to have to fix this. So I went to, I done a two-day fast, and on the second day, I said the same thing, and I went to bed, and I woke up, and I was normal. So I thank you, Lord, for that. Amen.
Amen. Please. Thank you, Donna. All right. So American preacher Jensen Franklin, he talks a lot about fasting. Their church do a lot of fasting beginning of every year. And he gives 9 reasons for fasting. I'm just going to cover 3 this morning, and we'll continue next week with the rest. But number one, the Samuel fast. You know, when the Philistines were preparing to attack Israel, Samuel declared a fast for national revival. He told the people to fast and seek God to return his presence to the nation. So sometimes people will fast just so that there's a breakthrough for the nation, breakthrough for Australia, breakthrough for Perth, breakthrough for Cronulla, whatever it is collectively. Then we have what they call the Paul fast. And, you know, if you're facing a major life decision and don't know what to do, maybe there's a job opportunity, broken relationship, unfulfilled dreams. God has provided a way that you can discern his voice, because that's one of the benefits of fasting, is that it's almost like you become more sensitive. The reason you become more sensitive is not necessarily that God is speaking more. It's that you have put yourself in a position where you are totally, totally just focusing on him. There's no distractions. It's all about him. You become sensitive. So Saul, that was Paul before, he was called Saul. He was going the wrong way in life. He was hunting down Christians, right, followers of Christ, and persecuting them when the light of God's truth knocked him off his path. And that's in Acts chapter 9, if you want to go read on it. And Saul was headed to Damascus, and was, it says he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Saul didn't know what to do, but he fasted for God's divine direction. Sometimes we say we are confused. We don't know what to do. We talk to our friends, we talk to our church, we talk to so many, but we don't necessarily talk to God himself. So if you're in need of a direction in life, this would be a good thing to consider. Then God sent the disciple Ananias to Saul with guidance. Through this process, Saul became Paul, one of God's chosen disciples, apostles. Through this fast, Paul got direction that he needed, and so can you and I. Lastly, the Daniel fast. When we look at the Daniel fast, this fast is it's a partial fast, and it usually yields healing. You know, people, when they're looking at their health issues and healing, they'll tend to look at the Daniel fast as a reference. And that's in Daniel chapter 10, if you want to read about that. Daniel and 3 others refused to eat the king's meat. And it says that they appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And that's in Daniel chapter 1. They were healthier. Now, I'm going to leave it there in terms of the types of fast, because I said there's 9 reasons why people fast. The main thing that I want to put across this morning is that even though fasting is one of those things that don't make you want to jump up and down, give it a try. As we go into 2022, we're in 2022 now, as a church, we would like to start well. We'd like to start 2022 with a fast to seek the Lord for our church, seek the Lord for families, and for the community. So starting Monday the 17th of January to Wednesday the 19th of January, we encourage you to please join us as we seek God fast. We're calling it Seeking God Fast. We'll have fasting sign-up sheets, and that will be next week. We ask that you write down, if you can go away and think about, this is your homework, think about 3 things I'm sure there's lots more, but just three things that you are seeking God for in 2022. And so what we're going to be doing as a church as part of the fasting period is we're going to have Zoom prayer sessions on those 3 days. And these Zoom sessions will go for 30 minutes. They will go from 7 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., where Pastor Stephen will share a short devotional, 5 to 8 minutes, and the rest of the time will be spent in prayer. So you get a little bit more detail about that next week. So I am very excited, and the reason I'm excited is not because I know what's going to happen, but because I know that when we stop and focus on God, He just can't help Himself. He can't help Himself but show us who He is.